Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Rams beat the Buccaneers last night 27-24, despite rushing for less than 2 yards per carry. Jared Goff picked apart the Tampa secondary for 376 yards and 3 touchdowns, including over 100 yards to both Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. Meanwhile, Tom Brady finished with 216 passing yards and a season low 4.5 yards per attempt, and also threw 2 interceptions, including one on the Bucs' final drive when they had a chance to tie or take the lead. The game gave the 43-year-old Brady his third loss in primetime this season. We're now joined by the Ram-bassador himself, Fox Sports NFL analyst Eric Dickerson. Eric, it is so good to see you, and I see that smile on your face. What was your biggest takeaway from last night?
Well, the biggest takeaway I got to start with first is how ugly those uniforms are on television. You know, those uniforms are horrible. But, you know, we won the football game. I think the big thing is that you saw Batman without Robin last night. And that's Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. It really shows that that offense does not fit him. It really doesn't. Pushing the ball downfield, that's not him. I think that I'd say this is one of the first times I've ever seen Tom Brady really, really uncomfortable in a situation. You know, normally if he throws an interception, you'll see him yell at the receiver and, you know, talk to the receiver like you need to be here, you need to be there. But you didn't see that last night, because I think Tom Brady's a little unsure also of where the ball is supposed to go at times. You saw a guy that I think when you go back to when we played him in the Super Bowl, what, 2 years ago, our offense was better then than it is now. And here's a team that, you know, we did what we wanted to do with them. I mean, and when I think about that Super Bowl, Bill Belichick shut down one of the high-powered offenses in the National Football League that held us to 3 points. And here we are with Tom Brady with the Buccaneers. You know, they can't almost, I want to say, get out their own way, but they have great players, especially receivers, but they're not getting the best out of their receivers. You see Tom Brady looking for Julian Edelman. He's not there. You see him looking for a young Rob Gronkowski. He's there, but he's not there. You see him looking for James White, you know, to catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, he's not there. So for me, I say, you see Batman without Robin right now, and that's Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. And, I think they really go hand in hand.
Skip, when we discussed it, when they actually did the follow-up on Edie's 1 point about the Super Bowl, the biggest difference is no Cooper Kupp. Remember, he tore his ACL. You see the difference that Cooper Kupp makes in a ball game like this, they had no answer. He ran the option route on the guy. The guy's like, he did that to me. But when you look at this ED, I watched last night, they did something really, really with Brady. Is that Brady was hard play action or everything with the quick. And I just tweet, I said, at some point in time, you got to press somebody because Brady will prick you apart. If you just let the receivers go down there and turn around, Brady's just, he's too accurate. Well, Williams started pressing AB, Jalen Ramsey started pressing Mike Evans, and it says, we don't believe Godwin can beat us. So now let's go play football. And just that little bit of timing was enough to throw Tom Brady out. Tom was terrible last night. 0 for 6 with 2 interceptions on throws of 20 yards down the field. Last 4 games, he's 1 for 20 on throws 20 yards down the field with 3 interceptions. Skip, your guy. And ED, I don't know, did you see this? Let me show, I got a blooper reel I want to show you. Can you throw the ball forward twice, ED? Can you throw it forward, get it batted back, catch it, and throw it forward again? What is this, Skip?
I thought that was his best pass of the night.
Skip, hold on. He must be thought it was Colorado, Missouri. You got a fifth down. Skip, what is this?
He completed that ball.
Skip, what is that?
That was goatish.
Skip, that's year 21. That's like a rookie quarterback lining up on the guard to take the snap. Skip, you can't do that. That's your goat. Is that your goat?
Yeah, that's why I said that was goatish. That was something. I've never seen a quarterback pull that off before.
Lowercase goat.
Get a pass slapped right back in his face, and he completes the ball?
And let that
you ever seen that?
And let that sink
Thank
in.
Thank you for showing that.
Let
I appreciate
that sink in.
That.
And had they not declined it, that's the only reason he got 216. He'd have been under 210 yards passing if it had not been for an illegal pass. Skip, he was – Skip, can we just say – I'm going to turn it over to you. Mm-hmm. Can we just say Tom Brady wasn't good last night, Skip? It's not to diminish what he's already accomplished. We're talking about
Tom
last
Brady
night.
Tom Brady was outstanding in the first half of that football game. He was dealing.
Was
he
the game
was
over?
On fire. So back to Eric's first point. This was actually Batman without pass protection or a running game or even a semblance of a defense that could defend the pass. Without a you're like naked out there. You're like, what am I supposed to do? Because without Ali Marpet, his best offensive lineman, and for the third straight game, we talked about it yesterday, he's out in concussion protocol. So now they got the backup center playing, and they had to move the center to guard. And then in that last series, remember, the backup center got hurt. They're up against an Eric Dickerson Los Angeles Rams defense that just might be the best defense in pro football. They have allowed the least yards in pro football. I told Shannon yesterday, I predicted this. I first guessed it, Eric. I said that Tom Brady is up against it tonight. This is an awful matchup for him because obviously your guys can get there with 4. And in the third quarter, they started bringing the heat on him in ways that Todd Bowles could never bring the heat on Jared Goff. He's Jared Cough It Up. And they never touched him. They didn't hit him. They didn't sack him. They let him get incredibly comfortable. Do you realize that the Tampa defense, which is not a playoff defense, do you realize it let Jared Goff come within one completion of the all-time Monday night completion record? Do you understand that's 39 completions? 40 is the all-time Monday night record. What's it go back to, 1970 Monday Night Football? So think about that. In the last 2 games at Tampa, what I call Tampa Bay, in primetime on a Sunday night and a Monday night, Drew Brees and Jared Goff combined to complete almost 80% of their passes. Well, you're up against it. So you're up against 2 really good defenses, obviously New Orleans and Los Angeles. And Tom Brady's just trying to do the best he can. I thought under the circumstances, I told you yesterday, this got to be a Ronald Jones game. Guess what? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers ran it 18 times last night and averaged 2.3 yards per rush.
Skip, that's your – hold on.
Okay, you got no chance.
That's your house, though.
Okay.
That's your house. They came and do your – I mean, how you going to let somebody come eat up all your food and don't make – have no repercussions?
Okay, so you know. I'm telling you, Brady actually went 7 of 14 on third down, which is pretty great. He actually went 3 of 3 in the red zone, which is pretty great. He actually put up great numbers in the first half. He had one drive that was just sensational. And you say he's playing terrible?
Skip, at one point he had 129 yards.
Yeah, but he had 45 yards in the first half on pass interference penalties. Those don't count in the yardage.
No, they don't.
Well, wait, I got to show my man Eric one tape here because this is to go ahead 14-7. If we could see what happened mid-second quarter, can we see these throws by Tom Brady? That's 3rd and 6 to Cameron Brate. The next one's 3rd and 9 to Cameron Brate. This is just a rocket to the boundary. Thank you. And then how about another 3rd and 8? Tell me this isn't a fastball. That's the little Scotty Miller, and it's pass interference on your man Fuller, the rookie. And then here we go to finish off the drive to Mike Evans on Jalen Ramsey to get it down to the 2-yard line. Thank you. And you tell me that's terrible? Are you kidding me?
Skip.
Skip. But that was in the first half, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We got a second half also.
Yeah, thank you.
I give you this.
My job in the first half, I'm done. You know, it doesn't work like that.
In the third quarter, your guys tore Tom Brady apart. He took some serious Drew Brees-style punishment in the third quarter. And I'm the first to admit, he got a little happy-footed in the fourth quarter because you do. I mean, you have that guy named Aaron Donald? Don't I always hear about how he's the best player in pro football?
He is great. And the thing is, he makes everybody around him great. One thing when you look at our defense, I got to say that Jalen Ramsey, you know, when I look at those pass interferences, you know, both guys are pushing. You know, it's always, and I'm an offensive player, but sometimes you have to say, look, come on, man. Both of them are pushing.
Yeah, play through it.
You just can't call it. You got to let them play football. But Jalen Ramsey, you know, Shannon, you know, you call a guy got some dog in him.
Mm-hmm.
He has dog in him.
He does.
Makes our defensive secondary that much better.
Yep.
I mean, he really does. Then you got Aaron Donald up front. You know, you got Floyd. I mean, all the guys are playing very, very good football, aggressive football. And what they did to Tom Brady, I told you this last week. I said, no quarterback. I don't care. It's Tom Brady, whoever it is. Go Joe Montana. it doesn't make a difference. Russell Wilson. None of them like to be hit.
Mm-mm.
You hit them enough. You put enough pressure on them. You get in their face enough.
Eric.
After a while, you rattle them.
Jared Goff does not like to get hit. And if you beat him up early, what did he do at Miami? He turned it over 4 times in the first half. They never touched him last night. Todd Bowles with his creative blitzes. Nobody got home.
But Ed, help me understand. Help me understand this, Ed. Now you and I, we've been trying to talk about Coach Belichick and the influence that he had on Tom Brady. But when it comes to those Super Bowls, Skip Bayless don't want to mention anything about his defense. Now he says Tampa doesn't have any defense because Tom Brady looked bad last night. He talked about the offensive line. You never see the problem that I have with people when they critique Tom. They never give people credit. When they win, it's only Tom. But when they lose, it was the defense fault. The offensive line didn't block.
Okay.
The running back can't run.
Well,
don't do that.
Give me an answer for this one. What did Tom do maybe best in his years at New England? He'd find the safety valve. He'd flip it to little James White and get 20 yards.
Yes.
Last night, he flipped it 4 times to Leonard Fournette, and he dropped 3 of them right in his hands.
Skip.
Well, you're out. You got no shot.
ED.
What's left?
ED. The Rams did not take ED. Well, I think he was the second pick in the draft. He was the second pick in the draft, ED. They didn't draft ED to throw him swing passes. They drafted ED to hand him the ball. Leonard Fournette got drafted to run the football. He's not a pass catcher. He can catch, but he's not James White out of the backfield.
Hey, he tiptoes to the line of scrimmage like nobody I've ever seen.
That's a different argument.
Tiptoes.
That's a different argument, ED.
I mean, come on. Hey,
you know, when I got to say that, really, when I think about it, I go to the Super Bowl when we played the Patriots. I got to say, Bill Belichick, he outcoached Sean McVay. He really did. And last night, Sean McVay outcoached Bruce Arians last night. You saw it. You know, look, neither one of us could run the football. But you know how running the football, those little dump-down passes,
yes.
those little passes they threw.
Jailbreak screens, yeah.
Right, those little quick screens. You know, that's how you run with the Robert Woods, the Cooper Kupp. You hit them short and let them take up a long run. Sometimes you just can't run the football at the backfield. We tried to run a tight end sweep. It did. You know, we picked up about 4 or 5 yards. You know, both teams on running the football, you weren't going to run on either one of those teams last night. So you had to come up with creative ways. And one thing about Bruce Arians is when it comes to his offense, he's real stubborn about it. He said, we're still going to push the ball downfield. We're still going to push the ball. Great. That's going to give our defense time to get to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll be the first to admit publicly that Tom Brady made one horrible throw.
Several.
And it ended the game. And the problem was he starts off hot in the drive. He hit Cameron Brate, and then he hits Godwin for 12 more yards. And here we go, and he loves Cameron Brate because he trusts him in big moments. And he gets a step on the other safety right up the seam, and Brady thinks, I can force this in there. And he tries to force it, and he just airmails Cameron Brate and throws it right to Fuller, who looked like the primary receiver on the target on the play.
Skip, he did not throw the ball. The one that almost got picked on the right rail by Mike Evans, he should have worked the other side to A.B. A.B. had single high. The safety had cheated towards Mike Evans. Skip, he didn't play well. Okay. It's okay.
You are criticizing the GOAT.
Yes!
Who won six rings with six game-winning drives in the fourth quarter overtime.
But see, that's the thing. But Skip, that's the thing. Just because you've had success doesn't mean you're above reproach or being critiqued about your play. He didn't play well last night. Mm. He missed some reads. That's okay. He's human.
Just like LeBron, he didn't have enough help.
No, Skip, I just want to know, why is it an awful matchup for the GOAT? If you the GOAT, ain't no awful matchups.
Well, the GOAT's in a whole new ballpark, right? He's got all new teammates and all new coaches.
You could take a GOAT from the South and bring him to California. Mm. He's going to stand on a bus.
Yeah.
He'll go eat grass. He's still a GOAT, right, E.D.? E.D., guess what? They took E.D. out of L.A. and put him in Indy. And guess what he did? Mm. Win the Russian title, because that's what he does.
Okay.
Preach, Shannon.
You give it up. Oh, he the GOAT. He the GOAT. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear no excuses.
All right, Eric. We
Ambassador,
your time.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Way to go.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to five times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Montrezl Harrell spoke with the media yesterday for his first time since leaving the Clippers for the Lakers. The reigning Sixth Man of the Year said joining the Lakers was a, quote, business decision. And when he was asked if the Clippers wanted him back, he replied, obviously, it doesn't seem that way, does it? Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joins us now. So, Chris, what does this tell you?
It tells me that Montrez is right on the money. I've talked to somebody close to this situation, and I'm told the Clippers did not want Montrez back. They felt like his personality wasn't a good fit for that locker room. Right or wrong, they felt, you know, it was something that he was obnoxious, and it just was a big contributor to their locker room and chemistry problems last year. So it also was magnified because that team, and still this still is a problem, they don't have a leader. As great as Kawhi Leonard is, he is not a leader. As great as Paul George is, not a leader. And Patrick Beverley's kind of silly and loud and all that, but not a leader. Lou comes off the bench, not a leader. So there was nobody in that locker room to kind of get Montrez to chill out or, you know, whatever, fix it. And so it was a problem. So especially with them being able to sign Serge Ibaka, the Clippers actually feel this was addition by subtraction. So Montrez is right on the money with that. Now, I think he won't be a problem whatsoever in the Lakers locker room because they do have leadership. And he has great respect for LeBron. Obviously, LeBron is a great leader. So I don't foresee this being any problem for the Lakers that it was for the Clippers. As far as which team kind of had the best free agency, look, early on, the Lakers were just smacking the Clippers around. I mean, it was a rout. But with getting Serge Ibaka, man, I love this move. I can't scream enough about how good this is for the Clippers. He gives them a seven-footer. We know they needed size, especially against Denver and the Lakers. And he could protect the rim, but also step out, hit the three-pointer. He's a great locker room guy. He's smart on the court, so that improves their basketball IQ, which is what Kawhi wanted. And also, Luke Kennard wasn't a bad addition. If he could stay healthy, he's a really good player if he could be healthy. All that said, it's the Lakers.
Thank you.
I mean, the Lakers.
Lake show.
Going into last season, it was, we know they got the best duo. But do they have enough of a supporting cast, enough of a bench? Mm-hmm. Now, they still probably have the best duo, you know, assuming LeBron doesn't fall off more than a fraction at age 36. And they've got a great supporting cast. They got the two best six men last year in Montrez and Dennis Schroeder. And then Wes Matthews gives them the 3-and-D that Danny Green or Avery Bradley, you lose with them. Marc Gasol is a smart defender, stretches the floor, can shoot the three. A little bit of rim protection, even though he's not a leaper or athletic. Only thing they lost was athleticism at the rim with Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. Outside of that, they're better. They are the runaway favorites in the whole NBA.
Serge Ibaka was a great defensive player. But you know, Chris, Serge Ibaka hadn't been All-NBA defensive since 2014. And last year, would you believe this? Marc Gasol averaged more blocks than Serge Ibaka? The great rim protector, Serge Ibaka. Mm-hmm. Marc Gasol averaged more blocks.
Well, Gasol started. He got to play more minutes. We'll see how that works out now.
And Marc Gasol can pass. He's a very good passing
so
big
can
man.
Serge.
Pass to pick and roll. Now we can pick and pop. We weren't going to be able to do that. We could just pick and roll to the rim with Dwight and JaVale McGee. Now we can pick and pop. Can you imagine how many lobs Trez going to get now? But the one thing the Clippers didn't improve, Chris, you came on here last week, said it would be a slam dunk if they got Rondo. Who is going to run the point? Nobody.
Mm. Nobody. Who is going to back up LeBron?
And they know it.
Yep. Where is playoff Rondo for the Lakers?
We got
who
Schroeder.
Is he?
We got Schroeder and Caruso.
Schroeder. Playoff Schroeder. Good luck.
We got Rondo paid. Yeah. Remember now, nobody wanted Rondo. The Lakers picked up Rondo for $2.5 million, right, Chris?
Time out. I think it's my turn.
No, your turn.
Chris, I'm having the best time sitting over here listening to my man Shannon Sharp try to duck and dodge the truth that you just spoke, Chris Broussard just spoke.
What do you?
Which is that after you gloated all day yesterday, we got Trez.
We stole
Trez from the Clippers. He didn't want to be a Clipper. He wanted to be a Laker. Time out. Sorry, the Clippers did not want him. He was a bad fit in many ways, shapes, and forms because he was a bad fit defensively. When they were in the bubble in the playoffs, he was a liability on defense against Denver. I'm sorry, now you get the liability. So good luck with your second unit liability.
Watch him.
Okay?
Watch him this year. No bubble.
He's like 6'6", maybe.
Don't worry about it. He played like 7 foot.
You are going to so miss Dwight and JaVale, as Chris just pointed out, because you don't have that athleticism at the rim anymore. You don't have that kind of rim protection. Anthony can't give you that kind of rim protection.
Oh, he can. But don't you worry about Skip. Why are you worried about what AD got? AD is a champion. He's going to be a different animal.
Listen, Montrezl Harrell became, as Chris pointed out, a big problem in the locker room, a big problem for Kawhi Leonard and especially for Paul George. According to our man Chris Haynes, they clashed during and after game two of the Denver series, and Montrezl is all over him saying, you're never wrong. You never admit you're wrong.
You're right.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see how that works. We'll see how LeBron likes having that big personnel in his locker room, because when things start to slip south a little bit, you better be ready.
When have you heard that in the locker room with LeBron James? Mm. Everybody that have problems, they said that about Rondo. Was Rondo a problem? Mm. They said that about Dwight. Was that a problem? Mm. All that stuff that JaVale normally would do, taking threes and dribbling the ball, jumping up in the stands, was that a problem?
It wasn't, because you got the break of your life. You went to a bubble that nobody else wanted to be in except you guys. So congratulations for your pandemic championship.
You know what the Trez Harrell signing reminds me of?
Yep.
Tom Brady signing with Tampa. Mm. He went to Tampa because New England didn't want him back. Doesn't matter how you get there, Chris.
You just compared Montrezl Harrell to Tom Brady.
You see what I said? Now Chris.
Now you're
Chris,
really reaching.
Chris, you heard what I said. I said the signing.
I like the Schroeder and Gasol, and I like Montrez, but Schroeder and Gasol, I think, they're better signings than Montrez.
Okay, do you think Schroeder's better than Rondo?
Again, he was a problem there.
Schroeder or Rondo? Who you got?
The only question, he's definitely better during the regular season. I think you'll even admit that. The only question is, we know playoff Rondo is special, but let's be honest, playoff Rondo, as great as he was, part of that is because the expectations are low. Now, nobody's expecting Rondo to be what he was, you know, in Boston. You know, so when he comes in and plays well, it's like, oh, wow, Rondo was great, and he was. It's just like Dwight, though. Dwight, everybody raved about how well he played last year. Why? Because nothing was expected.
Right.
He was a shadow of what he used to be when he was a star. But because nothing was expected, it was like, hey, Dwight was really good. So I think Schroeder is definitely a better player than Rondo at this point. And even if he doesn't take it to another level like Rondo does in the playoffs, I think Schroeder will be better for them in the playoffs than Rondo was.
Because you have to also understand, you look at Rondo, you look at normally when he went places like the Pelicans, he had AD. He goes to Sacramento, he had Boogie. But you look at him in Dallas, how did that work out, Skip? So how's it going to look like? What is it going to look like in Atlanta? Who the big in Atlanta? Oh, Clint Capella. Oh, Clint Capella going to give you 20 and 20, huh? Or maybe John Collins. I love Rondo. We would love to have had him back. But you can't turn down the opportunity because, like I said, $15 million guarantee, Skip. Mm. But I like where we are. But don't think we don't. We got a little something else, too, brewing.
Yeah.
We got something else brewing, Chris. Mm. We got something else brewing.
Well, is it going to be called cap circumvention? Because you got no cap money left. You know what? If it's a clutch client, clutch clients don't count against the Laker cap. That's a new rule.
Bird rights.
It's the LeBron rule.
Bird rights.
LeBron rights, right? Clutch client, nope, doesn't count against the cap.
I want to know why.
They're building the juggernaut. We got to give them that.
Got something for you. Mm. Kawhi. I want to see what the commercial is. What commercial you think they're going to shoot this year? When he took his little shot, the little king, the crown? Mm. You ain't mentioned that, Skip. Mm. All the billboards. Are the billboards still up? Yep. Are the billboards still up? Kawhi time.
It's your time to gloat. You got your cubic zirconia championship ring, and I'm happy for you. You got a huge break. You guys are both, you're underestimating how much you lost in Rondo and Dwight and Danny Green and JaVale and Avery Bradley, all tough defensively. You fell so far defensively that it'll start to show itself early next year. Just wait.
Wes Matthews can play defense. Did you see Bron? Did you see Bron play defense?
Yeah,
you remember
can.
When LeBron sat in the chair on Kawhi and Paul George on the final possession?
Mm.
You remember that? When he said, they called him, they're like, well, who you want? Hey, GOAT, who you want? Mm. I want him. He refused to address him by name. Mm. I want him.
Mm.
And locked him down.
All I know is that Serge Ibaka was the number one premier signing of the whole free agent period, and the Clippers got him.
You know,
Well, he was.
Chris.
No, he was.
This man.
Skip, you know, look, you know I was with you this year on the Clippers, but that ship has sailed.
Oh.
Right now, it's the Lakers.
Lego, baby.
No mercy.
Well, the Bucks have been busy this offseason making moves in hopes that Giannis will sign his 5-year Supermax extension with the team. Anthony Davis has been waiting to sign his looming new deal with the Lakers, and those two delays may be connected. Brian Windhorst reported that if Giannis chooses to forego his extension and become a free agent next year, AD could sign a 1-year deal himself to give the Lakers salary flexibility to lure the back-to-back MVP to join up with Davis and LeBron in L.A. Huh. Chris Broussard is back with us. So, Chris, could you see this happening?
Well, I certainly think it's on the Lakers' radar. And when you look at some of the things LeBron's been able to accomplish in putting together rosters, it's a possibility. I mean, you'd be foolish to say there's no way it could happen. That said, I don't see it happening. I don't think Giannis will be drawn to Hollywood and L.A. I think his move will be a basketball move. And I think that that is not like, if I'm Giannis and I don't stay in Milwaukee, I think there are better basketball options for him. I think in L.A., it's a possibility it could work, but he could become the third guy there. And if you're Giannis, if I'm a superstar, I don't want to be the third guy because LeBron will have the ball in his hands. He'll be running the point, and he'll get his 20-plus points a game. AD is more skilled offensively than Giannis, so he can shoot the basketball, he can post up, he can do other things. Where would Giannis fit in this? Now, you could say, well, Dwayne Wade wasn't a shooter, you know, and Bosh became the third guy because he could shoot, so maybe that would be AD. But that was a different NBA. The three-pointer was not as important back when LeBron and D-Wade played together in Miami. Now, with the three ball as it is, I think because Giannis can't shoot, he could easily become that third guy and really be like a glorified role player. Kyrie Irving was the second guy in Cleveland to LeBron because he could shoot, though. And so Giannis would be great with the Lakers in transition. And defensively, I mean, he'd be a terror. But in the half court, I could kind of see him getting lost. So I think for him, if I don't stay in Milwaukee, I'm looking at Miami, where he could just go fit in and you got shooters you could place around him. I'm looking at maybe a trade to Golden State or even a trade to Philadelphia. Because if he's a free agent and he wants to go to Philadelphia, he'll be able to push a sign and trade somewhere. And if Philly doesn't win the East this year, they may be ready to go in a different direction. And maybe if you're Milwaukee, you can get Ben Simmons for Giannis. And then Philly tries to pair him with Embiid. So I don't think it'll happen. But look, Kevin Durant went to Golden State, 73-win team. So nothing's impossible. But I would be shocked if Giannis went and joined the Lakers with LeBron and AD.
Well, Skip, he took all my points, so I'm going to let you take it because that's exactly what I was going to say. I would say no. I wouldn't bet against it because KD went. But, hey, go ahead. I'll let you go.
I do not doubt this is in the works. And I don't think it's on the Lakers' radar. I think it's on LeBron James' radar. LeBron James needs AD and Giannis to catch Michael Jordan. That's what's about to happen. I do not doubt it one second because he needs to get to six so he can say, I'm 6-6. Everybody's supposed to forget about the second six. Yeah. And Jordan was, no, you're not going to get to seven. 6-6. But obviously, Jordan was 6-0 with 6 finals MVPs. It's over, but LeBron will be able to make the case if he could ever get Giannis to come. Also, it would take both of those guys to put LeBron over the top just to get to 6. And the point of this is, I think Giannis also needs LeBron and AD. To me, Giannis has shown himself to be nothing but a 1A. He cannot lead a team by himself to a title, nor could LeBron in Cleveland, obviously. But even though a very good team was around Giannis the last 2 years in Milwaukee, it still won't work unless he can rise and shine in playoff situations. And we see that he's flawed. He doesn't have a mid-range game. And you can shut him down. He's terrible at the free throw line. But if you pair him, as Chris just pointed out, with LeBron and AD, whew, you could figure that out quickly. And as LeBron ages up to, what is he now, 36?
He'd be 36 in
December. Okay, so as he goes 37, 38, if he had Giannis and AD, he could play more pure point guard.
Right.
And distribute, and it would work, and maybe they would get to, or he would get to six championships.
Ain't no maybe. Yeah. You know good well if he got Giannis, AD, and LeBron,
okay,
it's
well,
over.
Maybe he's got one eye on Brooklyn because all of a sudden it's KD, Kyrie, and who knows, maybe James Harden, and then we would have East meets West.
First of all, how you going to sign, how you going to have KD on a max contract, Kyrie on a max contract, James Harden on a max contract, and what you call him on a max contract?
Okay, I ask you the same question about the Lakers, but somehow the capology works because it's the LeBron rules. It's LeBron rights.
What did KD do? If you notice, KD was signing 1-1, and he was taking $9 million, $8 million less each contract, so therefore you could keep Steph got that max deal, so you were able to keep everybody at bay.
Okay.
That's what we'd be willing to do.
Okay.
LeBron got one more year, Skip, and then he on the option. So we got two options. LeBron might be saying, okay, well, I'm supposed to make like 40 mil.
So my final point before I throw it back to Chris Broussard is somewhere Michael Jordan is laughing at this because this would have been the last thing that he would have tried to pull off when he played.
Well, I'm over here laughing at him signing Gordon Hayward 4 years, 120. So there are a lot of people laughing at him right now, aren't they, Chris?
Well, I'm going to leave. That's just a topic for another day.
Yep.
I'll say this. Let's say hypothetically this were to happen and LeBron does get to six wins in the finals. He's 6-6. To me, the most impressive part of that in the argument with Jordan as far as the GOAT would be now LeBron would be, you'd have to say, okay, he won six. And granted, he wasn't undefeated like MJ, but he got to 12. Like, that is incredible. That, to me, would be more of an argument in the GOAT debate than just the six championships. Because if we look at the championships, getting there with Giannis and AD, like, the one thing Jordan's always going to have over LeBron is he didn't have these tailor-made teams. Like, LeBron went and kind of made tailor-made teams to win his championships, whereas Jordan just kind of took what was with him and won it. And so I think you could use that argument if he wins it with Giannis and AD, but the 12 trips to the finals, even though he only won six, that would be incredibly impressive.
Wait a second. In those six losses, I'm thinking swept once, swept twice, gentlemen swept another time, gentlemen swept by the Spurs by a record finals margin. Do you want me to keep going? There's some epic fails in there.
And we're going to get to seven. We're going to be seven titles. So we're going to be 7-6. That's 13 titles in like 20 years with 40,000 points, 10,000 assists, 10,000 rebounds. How many all-NBA teams? How many all-stars?
What am I supposed to do with the 2011 finals, the all-time epic fail where there are two games to win?
Do what you want to do with them.
Two games to one and you blow 4, 5, and 6 with the all-time meltdown by a superstar?
You can do what you want with 2007, 2011, 2014. 28, 17, 18, whatever. We still going to be the GOAT.
Yep. Well, you need Giannis. So, Giannis, on now.
No. Yep. We don't need him.
Yes, we would
like to have him.
Yeah.
But we don't need him.
Yeah. I think that trio with the Lakers, it would be better than if you had Harden, KD, and Kyrie.
We'd blow the doors off.
It would essentially be the same thing. It's a chemistry experiment.
No. But we got a true point guard. We have a true point guard that knows how to distribute the ball. So that's the difference.
Okay, but who would have the best player on the floor?
But Giannis can't shoot. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
But we got some people. Don't worry about that shooting. We know how to put Giannis in position to thrive.
Wait, who would have the most nuclear weapon? I think Brooklyn would.
First of all,
Kevin Durant's the best player on the planet.
Chris, I'm sorry that you have to hear this, but I ask you to pray. When you go to church on Sunday, will you pray for Chris to get this demon out of his soul for talking that foolishness?
Well,
I saw the best.
KD outplay LeBron back-to-back finals. I don't know. Maybe I dreamed that.
So did LeBron outplay KD? Did LeBron ever outplay KD?
We're going to have to wait and see how this one plays out.
When he was a baby.
We will see. Just a baby. No mercy.